first reading comes to us from the book of Jonah, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and then verse 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Our second reading comes to us from Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, you have searched each of us and called us by name. As we hear these ancient words that are still relevant today, may they live in us, and may we heed your call. O God, I ask that you who have called me would use me to convey your message to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The two Bible readings today tell two shocking call stories. Our first reading tells the story of Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh and proclaim God's pending judgment so that the people might have a chance to repent and be spared. Jonah is reluctant to go. More than that, he doesn't want the Ninevites to be spared, so he runs the other way and sits in a big fish's belly for a spell before seeing the error of his ways. God gives Jonah a second chance and calls him once more. This time, Jonah goes to Nineveh. It's a 3 days' walk across the city. It's so large. But Jonah makes it just 1 day into Nineveh, announcing the Lord's judgment. And the people repent. God spares them, just like that. Next, we learn of John's arrest as Jesus proclaims the good news in Galilee. Repent and believe. Jesus passes along the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and his brother, Andrew. They're fishermen casting their nets into the sea as their family has done for generations. I mean, just to paint a picture a little bit for you, there's this significant archaeological find called the Jesus Boat, or Ancient Galilee Boat, as it is also known, that was found buried in the mud during a long drought next to the Sea of Galilee. The boat was 27 feet long and 7.5 feet wide. It dates to 40 BCE, plus or minus 80 years, or based on its carbon dating. Or if you look at the pottery and the nails found in the boat and the construction techniques used to construct the boat, it's dated to between 50 BCE and 50 CE. The boat was made up of varied types of wood, suggesting repeated repairs. It was rowable, but it also originally had a mast for sailing. Eventually, like eventually likely deemed to be beyond repair after a long life, the boat was stripped of its usable parts and sunk into the mud, where it was preserved until it was uncovered during the drought. Other than the dating of the boat, there is nothing to suggest Jesus actually traversed the lake in this boat. However, based on the carbon dating and pottery, it is highly likely that that boat would have been in the water at the same time many of the stories about Jesus along the sea were to have taken place. And just let that sink in for a little bit. You can go to Israel, to a museum, and see a boat that Jesus very well may have laid eyes on along his journey toward the cross. I mean, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what does. So Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, past fishermen and boats that looked much like the Jesus boat, old beat-up boats that had been repaired again and again over several generations, when Jesus says something peculiar to Simon and Andrew. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." It's sort of like, you know, all those old fish tales you tell and how the catch gets bigger and bigger every time you tell it? Yeah? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we catch tax collectors and Samaritans and leopards and. And at that one peculiar sentence, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people," the brothers drop their nets, the nets that have been used by their family for generations, that trade that is so entrenched in them, and they follow Jesus to who knows where and to what end. Jesus goes a little farther. He sees James and John, sons of Zebedee, in their boat mending their nets. He calls them, and they leave their father standing there in the boat with the hired hands, probably wondering what in the world just happened. And they follow Jesus, just like that. Whatever it is that is so compelling about Jesus in that moment, no wonder his fame begins to spread. More than likely, you've heard the call stories of Jonah and the fishermen many times before. But I think what we often forget about these stories is they aren't just calls to action. They're calls to faith. In the church of the French congregation San Luigi dei Francesi in Rome stand three paintings by the artist Michelangelo Merisi de Caravaggio. Sorry, my Italian professor in college would be fussing at me for my pronunciation. one of Caravaggio's master pieces in that chapel is his masterpiece, The Calling of Matthew. The story goes that Caravaggio actually grabbed random guys off the street, pulled them into the chapel, and had them sit for him as the models for the painting. In it, Jesus points to a table of men. All but one of the men are looking directly at Jesus with light shining on their faces, one of which points toward the lone man looking down at the table, his eyes obscured by his hair as he counts his money. We're never told which of the men gathered at the table is Matthew, but I presume it was the one still staring at the money, though I also love that it's not really clear from the painting. Even so, the portrait is telling. Some are quickly compelled to follow Jesus. Others try not to meet eyes with him. For some, faith in Jesus is a natural progression. Some greet Jesus reluctantly and with skepticism. Others are willing to jump in with both feet the moment they hear the words, "Follow me." The reality is that none of us fully understands what we're getting ourselves into when the journey begins. The further along we follow, the deeper our understanding of the faith necessary to truly follow, the faith required for that. And we are changed by this journey. As the hymn, "The Summons," we sang last Sunday affirms, we will never be the same. Just as Jesus called Jonah, just as he called Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and Matthew, Jesus beckons us from the shore to drop what we're doing and to make following him our top priority. And I want to invite you in this moment to consider what they may have looked like what that might have looked like for you in your past. What does it look like now? And are you truly following Jesus above all else? And then what might that look for, like for you in the future? You don't have to have all the answers. You need only faith enough to take the next leap. Amen.